15. The Spider's Stratagem. London, 12/12/2012. Tolomer taps ash from her first cigarette in 15 years, onto the polished floor of the commissioner's study. The tiles are cut from beds of lithographic limestone, mined near Langenaltheim, Germany, the same quarry where the first specimen of Archaeopteryx was discovered in 1861. If the commissioner objects to cigarette ash on his Jurassic floor, he's kept it to himself. Maybe he's too absorbed in their game of chess to notice, or it may simply be that he doesn't care. Tolomer takes a long drag, exhales, and considers her next move. The commissioner takes chess very seriously, and it wouldn't do to let on that she truly has no interest in whether she wins or loses. It wouldn't do to put the man in a disagreeable mood this evening, not with her report still freshly landed on his desk. Tolomer sees that she can win in 11 moves and tries to decide whether or not to throw the game, whether or not it's necessary, and if he'd know. He is a strange man, even among this bevy of strange men and women, and she's long since learned that second-guessing the commissioner is a perilous undertaking indeed.
"That disagreeable woman in Dublin," he begins and trails off, lifts his black knight, then returns it to the board. "I do trust that you were quite thorough before taking care of her."
"I'm certain of that, sir."
"Tolomer, my dear, no one is ever fucking certain of anything. In all the wide world, there is not a scintilla of certainty."
Tolomer keeps her eyes on the board.
"After that business by the river, I tracked her down and put two bullets in the back of her head and another in her chest. I weighted the body and sunk it in the river. Unless the exes have mastered necromancy, you may rest assured she's out of the picture."
"I never rest assured of anything."
He sighs, lifts the knight a second time, and a second time returns it to the board.
"She's dead, sir."
"And that other one?"
"Her too. Three bullets, same as the redhead. With all due respect, meting out death is one of the few things at which I excel. I've been doing it, seems like almost forever."
"It wasn't an insult, Tolomer. You ought to know enough to know that. But I like to hear these things delivered directly from the horse's mouth, as it were. Paperwork is all well and good, but it cannot replace my ability to glean the truth of a situation from the timbre, the tonality of a human voice."
She has heard it said that the old man is a living, breathing polygraph machine. She's heard it said he's as good as a syringe of sodium pentothal or 30 seconds of waterboarding. Only an idiot would lie to the commissioner. But even within the ranks of their organisation, there are very many idiots, though their tenure inevitably proves short.
"Understood, sir."
"Is it a fact that you once played Wilhelm Steinitz?" he asks her, studying the board, clearly aware of her advantage. "I have heard that, but one hears so many fairy tales."
"I did," she replies. "In 1892, before he lost his title to Lasker."
"And you beat him?"
"No, sir. Stalemate after 52 moves. Queen versus pawn, but his pawn had advanced to its 7th rank."
"Still," he said, "Steinitz. What I would have given just to have seen that game. Now, how about the Twisby woman?"
"It's in the report."
"Bugger the ruddy report. I asked you, did I not? Where do we stand in regard to that slippery bitch?"
"No one's seen her since the 7th of November, when she was spotted in Paris." He swears and dithers over his one remaining knight.
"You knew that already," she says, and he looks away from the board only as long as it takes him to scowl at her. "But at this stage, she hardly matters," the Egyptian continues. "Not with a double agent in place on site. We give the kill order and it's over. To be frank, I don't understand why it wasn't given a month ago. The longer we wait..." He shakes his head and leans back in his chair, as if ready to surrender the game.
"Complications,"
he sighs.
"Protocol."
"Since when do we acknowledge even the existence of protocol among terrorists?"
Since, my dear, no one wants to see these parlour games escalate into an all-out war. That's since when.
Ptolemy nods and sends a series of smoke rings towards the ceiling. The third time Ptolemy met with the redhead, 15 minutes before her execution, she'd said,
"What Twisby told me, and I quote, more or less, so maybe I should say paraphrase instead. What if Einstein had needed a small push to get him moving? What if, say, Oppenheimer or Fermi had needed a bit more motivation? That's all this is. Bet and I providing her sister a bit more motivation so her skills are not wasted among petrified bones and dusty museum drawers. That's all."
The commissioner says,
"Also, it would be preferable, would it not, if our cryptographers made sense of that message before we dispatched the twin?"
"Right," Ptolemy says, hardly bothering to hide her sarcasm. "The twin.
Clearly this Thisby person has washed her hands of the girl, the way she's on the move."
"Twisby, sir, and that may be true, or it may be true that she's accomplished her mission and there's nothing left to do but to wait."
The commissioner mutters, then picks up his knight and quickly, before he can change his mind, moves it to the king's second square. Ptolemy immediately takes it with her one surviving white knight. She has him in 4 more moves. She's thought before, and here she thinks again, how much the commissioner looks like John Tenniel's interpretation of the white knight from Through the Looking Glass. The same absurd moustache, the same beak of a nose. All he needs is a sway-backed horse and spiked anklets to guard against shark bites. The white knight sang, "I look for butterflies that sleep among the wheat." Only the commissioner always plays black, or maybe only when he pits himself against her.
"Blast," he mutters,
and pours himself another brandy from the decanter on the table.
"Blast your ass! You might at least have pretended to be taken off your guard."
"Apologies, sir. Your move."
He takes a sip of the brandy.
"In your expert estimation, Ptolemy, am I both imbecilic and blind? I can see the bloody board."
"Neither," she replies. "A question, though. Have you considered that there's no code to crack?"
He looks at her as if she's the imbecile. "I mean," Ptolemy continues,
"hasn't anyone considered the outside chance that the message is meant to be taken literally?"
His expression doesn't change, and he doesn't answer her. For a few seconds, the study is so quiet she could hear a mouse fart, were one to choose just then to do so.
"More a sort of roundabout, cockeyed sort of exposition, sir. Black Queen white, white Queen black. And then the second part, the Trenton transmission. To see themselves, they are gazing back."
"I know the blasted rhyme, Ptolemy."
"Of course. But it seems to me everyone's been so busy assuming it's the usual cryptic shit we get from the exes, no one's even paused to..."
"This is in your report?" he asks.
He drains his glass and watches her.
"No," she says. "It isn't."
"Odd, given it appears to have aroused in you some considerable passion."
"It only occurred to me just this morning. I was standing in front of my bathroom mirror, brushing my teeth, and really, it was the mirror that set me thinking there might..."
"You have me in 4, he says. "And I despise futility."
"Do you want to hear this, sir? Because if you don't, I'll shut the fuck up. I know I'm out of line. I don't have to be told this isn't my department."
"I should have thought, my dear, that in all those centuries you've seen come and go, you'd have learned to stand your ground. I have until a quarter of..."
And he points at the immense grandfather clock, occupying one corner of the study. The commissioner pours himself another drink. And Ptolemy tells him what's on her mind, a hunch that might be nothing more than that, but a hunch that succeeds in explaining almost but not quite everything they know. While she speaks, she contemplates the cross-section of a fossil ammonite preserved in the polished limestone floor. The logarithmic spiral echoes across the universe, the arms of the Milky Way, a moth to a flame, the configuration of corneal nerves, the bands of a typhoon, a fractal seahorse tail of a Mishorovich point. Ptolema talks. The clock rings the hour, and he doesn't interrupt her. As she goes on, his expression changes from skepticism to disbelief to the very last thing she ever expected to see him show. Something she'd wager her left hand is fear.